Hello and welcome to the Thursday, April 2nd, 2015 edition of the Sands and its Storms and its Stormcast. My name is Johannes Ulrich and today I'm recording in Jacksonville, Florida. Mozilla today released Firefox 37 and with that two important improvements to the way SSL is done. First of all, Mozilla did introduce OneCRL. That's Mozilla's trade name for their own certificate revocation list that they are publishing in addition to any revocation lists that your browser may pull based on information found in the certificate. So essentially that's a global certificate revocation list that Mozilla plans to use to proactively disable important certificates that may get compromised. In addition, there's another technology, and that's opportunistic encryption. Now, this works a little bit different. Essentially, the goal here is if a user connects to your website via HTTP, you may advertise via an alt service header that you are also supporting HTTP2 and Speedy on port 443, which of course means that the browser can then switch over to this alternative service in order to obtain an encrypted connection. Now, these encrypted connections work a little bit different than a normal HTTPS connection. Another way you could, for example, do that is just by redirecting the user with a normal 301, 302 redirect to an HTTPS version of the site. The advantage of opportunistic encryption is that it's lower overhead in the sense that first the connection is established and the browser only switches over to the encrypted connection once that connection actually exists. So until then, data is still being sent unencrypted. Also, there is no authentication for the HTTP2 or Speedy 3.1 connection in that case. So what happens is that a self-signed certificate can also work. There are of course problems with that. It's not as secure as TLS. If the SSL connection in that case gets disrupted, the browser will automatically fall back to HTTP, but it does provide some additional privacy from eavesdropping. Man-in-the-middle would of course still be possible, but remember, this is sort of a subtle upgrade from HTTP, and it's definitely better than just using unencrypted HTTP. If you want to do it right, just redirect the user to the HTTPS service and implement services like HSTS, which will then guarantee that in the future the browser will also connect via SSL. HSTS stands, of course, for HTTP Strict Transport Security, and that's another header you can add that essentially signals to the browser that your website is only available via SSL. And the Pew Research Center did a study testing whether or not US citizens changed their online behavior after hearing about the wholesale interception of online communication by US government agencies. Well, it turns out that pretty much everybody, 90% I think was about the number, heard about Snowden and about what was going on. Now, after that, only about 30% did any kind of change to their social media privacy settings, to email passwords or the like. So really, two-thirds of the people who heard about the issues didn't really change anything what they did. If they were asked about how they, if they approve this kind of data collection or not, sort of the typical answers came back, well, for everybody but myself. For American citizens, most individuals found it not acceptable, but when it comes to citizens of other countries, and in particular terrorism suspects, then of course the numbers were quite different. And then we got an interesting vulnerability in JSON web token libraries. The way these web token libraries are used, they're supposed to help one server authenticate a user for another server. So essentially what happens is you log in to the first server, you log in, now the server sends you a token that's digitally signed by the server, and you can present this token to a different system, and essentially then you will be logged in to this different system. The problem here is that there are two different ways to create the token. There's either HMAC, which does require a shared key between these servers, or there's RSA. In the RSA case, there's just a public key being transmitted, and of course that public key is then just being transmitted with the token. What an attacker can do here is take the public key and then re-sign the token using this public key as an HMAC secret. Now, the HMAC secret is never supposed to be leaked, but the recipient will still accept that signed token that's now signed using the HMAC algorithm and just interpret the public key as the shared secret, which can then be used to bypass authentication. So if you're using JSON Web Tokens, or JWT for short, make sure you're up to date and you have up to date libraries deployed. And Brad published some real nice diaries about updates to traffic pattern in Common Exploit Kit, for the Rig Exploit Kit, as well as for the Angler Exploit Kit. The URL patterns change somewhat, so if you use these URL patterns, for example, for filtering or such, take a look at his diary to see what changed. And Verizon finally set up a mechanism to opt out of the unique identifier header. These are these super cookies, as they're sometimes called, that Verizon added to its wireless internet traffic. So if you're a Verizon user, go to my account, make sure you opt out of this. Essentially, what it means is that Verizon otherwise will inject a unique header identifying you to all outgoing HTTP requests. Well, and that's it for today, so thanks again for listening, and talk to you again tomorrow.